This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Air on. Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome to Racer Radio. FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. This hour is brought to you by Southwest Point of Sale. If you've got a small business, grocery store, liquor store, and you're having an issue trying to keep good cashiers, well, Southwest Point of Sale might have the answer for you. Call 800-540-2149 or just go to southwestpointofsale.com and they come out to your business, take a look. If it fits, it fits. Won't cost you any more than if you're buying a new cash register. Plus, it provides meat and produce scales. You get all the service you could ever want from Jeff or Mark or anybody on his team. Over 150 years experience, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Check out self-checkout with Southwest Point of Sale. 800-540-2149. That's Southwest Point of Sale. POS, that is, .com. And Black Forest Motorsports for all your motorsports needs, especially if you have a BMW Mini or a Porsche. But if you don't want to go racing, that's fine too. They take care of your car just as if it was at the dealer. That's blackforestautomotive.com, blackforestautomotive.com. Check them out. All right, Brittany is stuck on a tarmac trying to get home from Vegas. And she was nice enough to set up an interview with a gentleman by the name of Richard Broddick. I don't have too much information on him, but he is from the American Historic Racing Motorcycle Association. Welcome to the show, Richard.
Thanks for having me on, Dave.
My pleasure. So maybe for folks that are not aware of who American Historic Racing Motorcycle Association, why don't you give us a little history lesson?
Oh, well, ARMA is what it goes by short. Mm-hmm. ARMA is a historic racing association. We are a 501 not-for-profit organization.
Oh, okay.
Dedicated to preserving, restoring, and competing on vintage and historic motorcycles.
How cool is that? I mean, especially for somebody my age, that's perfect. I mean, that's perfect because you've probably got bikes that I know of and most kids today wouldn't have a clue what I was talking about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've got Norton Manx that come out and race original ones.
Wow.
You know, we've got bikes all the way back to the 1920s, hand shift, you know, tank hand shifts that come out and race with us. So we just cater to all motorcycles. We love everything on two wheels, and, you know, the vintage and the historic stuff needs a place to be able to run.
Where are you guys located?
We are based out of Tennessee, but we are a nationwide organization.
Okay.
We have regions, and we race in five different disciplines, which would be our road racing, our dirt track, our motocross, our cross country, and our observed trials.
Gotcha. Geez, you cover all the bases. Well, the reason I was asking, would you know if there is a group in San Diego?
Currently, I'm not sure of too many. I know of several organizations around there. I run the dirt track program, and last year was our first time getting back out on the West Coast in almost 10 years. And that was at Paris Raceway. We love that track. We went there this year. And then we've been up to Lodi Cycle Bowl, and this year we put on the first ever dirt track, flat track race at WeatherTech Laguna Seca with the help of the Salinas Ramblers.
Wow, that had to be huge. Well, the only reason I'm bringing this up, outside of doing 6 hours of radio, and Brittany and I have the only motorsports show in Southern California, or actually San Diego, that I know of. Course, we're on podcasts. That means we're all over the place. But on the side note, I also do local television. So if you're ever coming back to Paris and you'd like some free television, all you have to do is reach out. We'll schedule it, get some bikes down there. I do it with Cal VMX, I do, you know, I've had all kinds of, you know, vintage guys on TV to promote, you know, events at either Willow Springs or Willow Springs, and then Glen Helen, you know, because if we don't support what you guys do, those bikes will end up in a museum someplace.
Oh yeah, yeah, and we actually have a couple guys in Kentucky that have brought some of Earl Hayden's bikes out of museum
wow.
to come race with us. So we're trying to keep them out and bring them out of museums instead of putting them back in.
No, I agree, and I'll never forget it. My grandfather told me this when I was a little kid. He says an engine never knows how old it is, which means you put oil. Put gas, a little bit of air, water if it needs it, and you're good to go. And I think we should keep that mindset.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think I've got about 8 bikes in the garage that are currently running. You know, we all have the several projects sitting there just looking at us, waiting for us. But out of those 8 bikes, 7 of them are at least 10 years older than I am. You know, and I turned 40 this week, so...
Yeah. No, I'm right.
Running and yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm right there. I'm right there with you. And then the other thing I always try to do, both Brittany and I, is like I said, we look hard to find groups like yourself, you know, but this girl's got contacts. I mean, she's had Marty Tripe in. She's had I can't even think of all the names. She's going to kill me when she hears this. But, yeah, so we've been trying to support the motorcycle community as much as we can, especially the vintage, because I think it's so important because the stories you guys have are endless. Maybe not you.
And, you know,
maybe not you, but maybe the owner of the bike, only because they would be older than you since you're only 40.
Yeah. Well, and that's part of my job. I get to go from coast to coast to all these races and meet incredible people.
What a job.
And listen to their stories and race next to them on the track. I've got guys that race with me that are 72, 74. They're still going at it. Any given day, it's still hard to beat those guys.
With that being said, if you ever want to get them on air, if nothing else, to get them on air, that you can save that history, you know, I'm more than happy to work with you because, I do 6 hours of radio and I have 1 hour that I leave open just for situations like what we're talking about. I'll find somebody interesting, somebody with a great cause, somebody with a good product, and boom, we'll just knock out an hour with no commercials. And then you've got a PR piece to use. You know, especially if you know you're going to go do an event and this guy's really up there, you can blast it out on social media and use it. Then you get a copy of the show. So something we need to talk about. And Brittany can give you all my contact info.
Yeah, definitely. I know I've got several in the dirt track discipline that have been racing since the late 40s, early 50s. Not to mention even over on our cross country and our motocross, and especially in our trials, we've got guys that have been doing this stuff, you know, definitely way older than, you know, more than I've been alive, but, you know, from the 50s for sure. And they've got the bikes that they had when they were kids. So it's always just a cool story to listen to these guys.
Well, the stories are everything. The stories are everything. Yeah. I mean, when you come right down to it, you know, the bikes are kind of a second nature. They're beautiful. They look good. But, man, when you get into some of the stories, what they had to go through to either get to the race, prep for the race, run the race, I love history, especially motorsports, motorcycles, all that kind of stuff. It's just amazing. And these all guys and girls are all so humble. You notice how humble they are?
Yes. It definitely is a we support the modern bikes, we support the modern sport, but when you get into the guys who've been doing it for a long time and they're on their vintage bikes, they're willing to talk to anybody, they're willing to race against anybody, and they let people just walk right up, sit on your bike, see, you know, again, like you've discussed, a lot of these bikes, people haven't seen them outside of online or magazines or museums. And we're not even just showing them off. We're running them. We're racing them. We're putting them through their paces.
Wow. Hey, what's your website? This has been a great segment.
It is ARMA, ARMA.org. We have all the schedules. Most of our schedules for next year are pretty much confirmed and up there. We have a magazine that goes out every month that details all of the races we've done, what's coming up. We have spotlight pieces on some of our riders.
Perfect.
Just because, like you said, the stories on these guys have been racing with us.
All right. So one more time on the website, then I got to let you go.
It's ARMA.org. That's ARMA.org.
All right, buddy. Hey, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and ride safe, and I look forward to talking to you down the road.
All right. It's good to talk to you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. Hey, guess what? Dirt Dude's going to try to climb into the steps of the racing school teacher right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford. El Cajon Ford down in El Cajon right on Main Street. 1595 to be exact. They've even put the used car department there, so no longer in Santee. So you take a cruise over to El Cajon, you can see new, used, get your car serviced, and they'll work on everything that you have in your driveway. That's right, with qualified master or qualified technicians for sure. So check them out. But if you're looking for new, used, the inventory is slowly but surely creeping up. A lot of Broncos. In fact, Paul's been selling quite a few from what I can see on social media, so check them out. Big sponsors of Barona Speedway. Can't thank them enough for sponsoring this show every single week. Hey, we got a golden opportunity. We got Dirt Dude, the golden tongue of Barona Speedway. He's their announcer, and don't get a chance to talk to you too much off-season. Following any motorsports?
I've been following a lot of stuff that's been on Facebook. The Gateway Dirt Nationals were just happening over the weekend. A lot of cool action there. I mean, it's a small track.
Yeah.
And, one of our local kids, actually, Ricky Thornton Jr. out of Arizona, went out there, won the first show. Kenny Wallace made it into the A main. And then there was a 16-year-old kid out of nowhere, backward from Kentucky, gets flipped over on the back straightaway going into three, and they go to interview the kid. One of the best interviews I've ever seen. The guy gets out of the car. He's not mad at anybody. He's like, well, that just blew my chance for the weekend. He goes, I've been coming here since I've been a kid. Well, he's 16.
Yeah, but I was gonna say
he was just one of the greatest interviews I've ever seen. And then he just goes live, he's telling everybody, hey, help me out, buy my shirts. And then all of a sudden I became his friend on Facebook just from following that. And just was a character. He was we were talking to this kid earlier, give him the play-by-play, and he was just doing this whole Kenny Wallace in the car, how the car would be driving, just totally cool.
That is real.
Nationals, man. It's all on Facebook, and they've been covering it. There's been a few controversies. One of the guys night one got pinched off in the corner and then hit the key rail, and they're he came back and then punted the guy down the back straightaway. It's just hey, what, not fair. You chopped me off. And then, I don't know. There's both sides of the story.
Hey.
Both of them are kind of a hothead.
What do you think's going to happen? I mean, they're not going to say, oh, I'm so sorry I bumped into you. I hope you're okay.
Definitely going to be DQ'd. They're going to DQ one of the guys for rough driving and then see if the other guy advances. But, I mean, he couldn't advance because the rear end of his car was tore up because the guy that he tore up the front end on came back and just, hey, I'm already done. You're done with me.
No, so took them both out.
Yeah, this is all. If you watch any of the Flow on Flow Racing, so if you subscribe to that, a lot of people do. This is all on Flow. This is one of those big races back east, and then I know we're getting ready to come back out here. Winter Nationals are going to be in Cocopah. We're still setting up our season. I know we're tentative for right around April.
Okay, I was wondering.
Somewhere in April is a tentative start date for us. No definite schedule as of yet, but that's what we're looking at.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was figuring. I mean, it's the general rule. Right now, you guys, there's a lot to do between now in April. That's for sure. Hey, what is that race down in Florida, the Snowball?
That's the other one that they were talking about. I think that's next weekend.
Did you hear that? I think one of the Sextons qualified in, like, I think the top 10. And
oh no, that's a sprint car race then, huh? I thought it would be dirt late models.
No, I don't know. I just caught a little bit, but actually somebody told me at breakfast this morning. But Brad Keselowski, he qualified 40th.
Yeah.
And that's all everybody's talking about, is that he qualified 40th, and well, in hell, all 39 other people out qualified him. I'm thinking, my gosh. And he says,
you got to know these kids are coming up now, and racing is their life, and you're not going to go back to their track or back to any of these tracks and think you're going to be the NASCAR guy that's going to show up. The only one I think could really do it would be
Kyle Larson.
Yes, Larson is the only kid that can show up and be like, hey, I drove these. I know what they do. Right. I've been in a midget, been in a sprint car, 410, 360, NASCAR, truck, everything. That guy has been everything.
Everywhere.
For, I think, off-road.
Well, did you hear where he dropped in at, what's the track, Aventura?
Yeah.
Just dropped in. Somebody,
wasn't even sure he's going to make it. Wasn't even sure he's going
to
make it.
So they handed him the keys to the car, and he came in second.
Well, yeah, they started dead last because he wasn't even there for the driver.
Right, that's what I was saying.
Driving. Like, hey, thanks for showing up.
Now,
he walked second out of it.
You're an announcer at a dirt track. You've seen every form. Explain to me how he could get in a car that he's never driven and it's totally 138% legal and goes from last to second.
God-given talent. That's what it is. Un-God-given talent.
Because you've raced.
More than anyone else.
Right? You've raced. I've raced.
Yeah.
I've never had that result, but that is just such an amazing gift that kid's got, let me tell you.
But there are a few people like that. I mean, like,
a
couple of races. I'm like, dude, how did you even get that car to even stick like that? He goes, yep, it just works for me. I know where to get in my apex. I know when to get on it, get off it, hit the brake, set the car. You know, they just have that ability. It's right on them.
And the only way anybody's going to know they have it is just, it's not like a commercial, but support your local tracks, whether it be dirt or asphalt. The go-kart tracks. I was just doing an inspection on an Audi R8, had your name all over it. And this guy had this.
Hey, forgive me one. It has my name all over it.
I'm telling you, I fired this thing up, almost had a heart attack, big V10. But anyway, this guy bought his kid a mini cart. It's for asphalt. So he's putting his kid in it. It's got a little motor on the side. Looks like it's pretty small. And kid's scared right now, but he is going to groom this kid. And if he was my dad, I could be one of the best drivers in the country. Because this guy, I think, that's his goal. But who knows? Maybe not. That's the only. It's like anything, you know. But you got to give kids opportunities. I don't know if you do this, but every time I'm out or I'm at KUSI or wherever I'm at and I see a little 8-9-year-old, I look at their parents and I say, hey, you need to get this kid in a cart, or you need to get him in a car out of Barona. Yeah, we were out there one time. And those are the kinds of things that'll get, because we have the greatest little mini group down there in the small tracks.
I don't know if you've ever read Tony Stewart's book. Tony Stewart, he wrote a book about his life and everything. And he said when he started out in go-karts, he felt bad because he never had any of the best equipment. His dad's like, you don't need the best equipment. You can drive. They can't. You give them the best equipment they have, and you still can beat them with this, you know, equipment they have. He goes, Tony was like, I was out beating these kids that were, like, sponsored with nothing, with junk. And he goes, I would go out there and just whip them, you know, and they never knew what hit them. And he goes, just having that ability, having that talent is what it is.
Yeah. And you know it when you know it. I mean, it's not like you'll have it, try it, and then never go back. If you have it, you'll know it.
Yeah, there's a few people you can tell they race with money, and there's a few people you can tell that race with talent. So,
and I mean, you can do okay with money. I mean, you can get training.
You don't have to worry about wadding up a car. You're like, right. I will fix that later, you know? You're buying a whole race series.
Guys like you and I, or, you know, Brittany will even tell you point blank, you know, she doesn't go into the turn as hot as she probably could because she doesn't want to wad it up. She doesn't want to have to, you know, put any money in it because she doesn't have the money, you know, set aside for a crash.
I tell everybody I live vicariously through racers right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have to, no money out of my pocket. I just get the excitement of it. Hey, you do good. You don't. Hey, I still get to watch great racing.
And you can get up in the morning with no aches and pains. Maybe a little bit of a sore throat, but no aches and pains.
Yeah, my wall's not dead at the end of the night too either, you know, because I don't have to look at how much it's going to cost to replace everything.
So just go to the track news just for a tad. It's kind of like if it's not broke, don't fix it. Not a lot to do to the track, you think, for next season, just, you know, your normal maintenance and grooming?
The old girl's running good. I think we're just going to put a little bit of coat of paint on it, you know, and go through and, you know, update some stuff. I know that there's stuff that they want to do, like, you know, lights, sound system, and everything like that. You know, that's down the road.
It's too expensive right now.
Go through another season. Yeah, go through another season. I think we're going to still carry the same thing. Definitely dwarf cars, pure stocks, sport compacts, pure stocks, streets. That are the definite. Throw in, you know, sprinkling maybe some sprint cars if we can get them in. You know, the modifieds are definitely going to be there. We're doing both the mod and the sport mod, which is the B, A and B mods. Just figuring out the schedule on them and the ponies. There's so much to throw in there one night. If we can keep it, I like to see like 5 to 6 main events in a night.
Right.
When you get up to 7, you're kind of hustling. And if you have any problems tonight, you're kind of just like, oh no, now we're like way behind. But keep it 5 to 6, you get through the night. Everyone can, you know, come back down to the pits and have a good time. You get done early. Everyone has a great time. So,
yeah. No, I agree.
That is going to be Trish, Todd, and Mark now are doing all the scheduling. You know, Mark just picked up a race director for next season. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what he's got planned for his, you know, aspect of that. Plus Trish and Todd, you know, they're the ones that actually run the place. So they have all the controlling interest in it to make all the decisions they want. And I know that they want to just make sure that everyone has a great night of racing and, you know, just trying to get people out there.
And as far as track rules, regulations, nothing's changed. You can still bring a trailer, park it out there as long as you're self-contained. You can barbecue. You can bring your own beverages. But you really got to try out the food station because it's awesome. And you know, one thing we never talk about, and I've never even been in, but I will next season, is the gift shop. What's in there?
Yeah. Well, the souvenir stand, like hats, t-shirts. We have a couple of track photographers that, you know, post their pictures there online. So you basically can pick up pictures, like I said, hats, t-shirts, and then like stickers.
And sweatshirts if you get cold.
And everything.
Sweatshirts when you
blankets.
Get cold.
You had blankets there before. That's, you know, just one of those things we keep going with.
But you know what? I don't think
change it for next year.
Yeah, I didn't think anybody. I mean, I didn't really even know about it. But I have to tell you, Cajon Speedway. That's where I got all my sweatshirts and jackets. Like, God darn, I forgot my jacket again.
Well, you don't have a permanent car because I was saying every time I see you got a different car.
Oh.
You don't have a Brona sticker on the back of your car, like, hey, you know.
I would love to. I'd love to, but I'd tell you how much money I'd spend a year on bumper stickers. Hey, man. This has been fun. I'm glad you called in. That was great. I appreciate it.
All right. Enjoy your day, man. We'll catch up later.
All right. Take care. That's Dirt Dude, folks. Verona Speedway. Thanks, El Cajon Ford. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170. The Answer. Hi, folks. Welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170. The Answer. Segment's brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. Boy, if you've not been to Paris Auto Speedway, you have missed out on probably one of the best times you'll ever have. You're going to go to a dirt track that is fast, maybe even a little clay added. Great food, great announcer, great show. Probably one of the best you'll ever see. Paris Auto Speedway and this girl has got a dirt track that will curl your hair. And guess who I got on the line? I got my good buddy Don Kazarian, promoter, water truck driver, grader operator, might even flip a burger or two. How you doing, Don?
Good. Thanks for the introduction, Dave.
I couldn't help myself. So, if folks, if you're not aware what's going on with Paris Auto Speedway in the state of California, Don's going to give us a chat with maybe what's going on, what we can do to help, and maybe closer to a resolution. So, Don, the mic is yours.
Well, let's see. I think this is the third or fourth time I've been on this program since we went public with our story. Thanks to all the race fans, not only in Southern California, but across the country. We had a meeting, I think it was on November 4th. It was actually Friday at the Oval Nationals, which I wasn't really too busy at that time. But that's the time they wanted to schedule a meeting. So we had a meeting with our state Senator Roth, two of our supervisors, Hewitt and Jeffries, and the mayor of Paris. And they gave us an hour to sit down and talk about the project and how the impacts were going to impact the speedway. And we were in the conference room at the speedway for about 2 hours and 15 minutes. The end result of that meeting was both the supervisors contacted Governor Newsom. State Senator Roth actually contacted the director of DWR, trying to seek a resolution. But it also got the attention of some more mainstream media. We had a very good article in LA Magazine, which then caught the eye of Univision and then caught the eye of ABC News. So we had both television stations out last week. Univision was there for about 6 hours doing interviews with all the parties, and ABC was there the next day for 4 hours.
Wow.
As a result of that, we are planning a rally outside of the Riverside County building in downtown Riverside this Tuesday morning. It's going to start at 10 o'clock, and we're asking everybody to be there at 9:30. The response online has been tremendous, and we are going to ask the other three supervisors that they get involved, along with our new state assemblyman. We're trying to get a full court political press to get the governor to step in and try and resolve this issue with the Department of Water Resources.
Wow. Well, you know, and like you said, thanks to all the race fans, the racers, the supporters of that track, because you couldn't do it without them, without their help, for sure. And I agree. Big thanks to them. But we're not done yet. There's still more to do. What would you recommend?
Oh, we're not done yet at all. Still call the governor every day. We have the support of the state senator. You can call him too, so he doesn't forget about us. The other three supervisors, you can start lobbing phone calls into them. I hope to meet with our new assemblyman that just got elected this next week. His offices, temporary offices, are actually in the fairgrounds office, so I think I'll be able to walk over there and get a meeting pretty easy, since I'm only 100 yards away from that office.
Yeah.
We just have to keep the pressure on the politicians. And
yeah.
As of right now, DWR had a presentation to the fair board a couple weeks ago, and they're now projecting the start of the project to be June of July of next year.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if that happens. That'll be about the 8th or 9th start date. But what's troublesome is, DWR actually submitted an offer into the fairgrounds this last April for a loss of goodwill revenue due to the impacts of the project of over $1.6 million.
What?
Now, where do you think that revenue comes from? Where do you think that revenue comes from, Dave? It comes from our events. It comes from Paris Auto Speedway's events and Toro Wappo Event Center events. The fair no longer even receives any percentage out of the parking for now their four-day fair, let alone they used to receive 50% of their nine-day fair. But that nine-day fair is gone for at least the next 3 years.
Wow.
It just irks you when you've supported the fairgrounds for 28 years now, paid tens of millions of dollars in rental payments to the state.
Sure.
And the people from DWR will not recognize us as legitimate tenants.
No kidding. So let me ask you this. Let's go the other side. What would be the easiest and simplest resolution if you were in charge to satisfy both parties?
It's a pretty simple process. I mean, you could hire as many as 3 appraisals, you know, and then work between the 3 appraisals and come to some agreement. I mean, we've been in business for 27 years, 28 years. I mean, I have tax returns for 28 years. The appraisal that they hired back in December of 2020, it took basically 10 days to do appraisals on 5 businesses. That normally would take 3 or 4 months. And I've been lucky enough to see those 3 appraisals. They all have different assumptions. How can you have different assumptions on the same project?
Hmm. So is there any disruption of the fair or the track if this process goes through?
There could be a disruption for the track, sure. You know, the main impact to the track is going to be traffic.
Because
when they close down Evans Road, which is the main north-south thoroughfare west of our entrance down to 2 lanes, it triggers regional traffic where 11 out of 16 intersections are operating at level F 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, plus the 2 on-ramps off of Ramon Expressway. So it's basically 13. You want to add, you know, Harley Knox off-ramp too, because they say it's going to be at level F. Basically 14 out of 16 intersections in that region are at gridlock 7 days a week.
And there's nothing they can do to get around it because that's what they got. That's where they're doing their project.
That is with mitigation measures. They've already instilled mitigation measures of retiming lights. The bottom line in the EIR, to quote, the human health and safety of the neighborhoods far outweighs the significant and unavoidable impacts to the businesses.
Wow. Well, like you said, the fight is still there. It's just doesn't. You're supposed to be running a racetrack. You're not supposed to be a lawyer.
I know. I might take the bar in a year or two.
Yeah, I was just gonna say you'll be definitely qualified to take the bar. So I guess it's just
what's great.
Yeah.
You know, they announced this project in 2013. I went to the original scoping meeting. At that time, they said the project would be, you know, certified by the EIR and done by 2019. We're now almost 10 years after they announced the project, and they still haven't started it.
God. I don't know, man. It's just crazy. It's crazy. So right now, you're just kind of taking it one step at a time, but you're up against some pretty...
We're still knee-deep in the litigation, Dave.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
We have two law firms working on it. You know, we're in the deposition phase right now. We're going to win the lawsuit. I mean...
Yeah, that's usually the case.
The Attorney General Office, they filed 4 different demurs on 4 different claims. We won every one of those. Then the judge demanded that they only had 30 days to finally respond to our complaint. You know how many pages their response was to our 42-page complaint? A page and a half.
Oops. That's it?
The first page was nothing about just lawyer addresses and names and you know, defendants and, you know, plaintiffs. And the next page, they had a paragraph and a half of the same argument they made for the 4 demurs, basically saying they haven't impacted us yet and they've sued us too soon.
That makes no sense at all.
That makes no sense. So they've made an offer to the fairgrounds based on what they believe their, you know, impacts are going to be. Did they make that offer too soon? I mean, I don't want to sit here and play lawyer, but there's no logic to it.
No. Well, but sometimes they seem to think they can win, whether it makes sense or not. I mean, my gosh, I mean, look at the way government runs, not just in your situation, but all up and down the state of California. I mean, these people, they're from another country. They're from aliens. They're aliens, as my wife says.
Department of Water Resources has a very long history of wearing the people that sue them down and just turn them into roadkill. They financially break them.
Yep.
They can't stay in the litigation for 2-3 years. Like I told our crowd, they picked the fight with the wrong guy.
Oh, boy, did they ever. Hey, let me get you to, can you stay for another segment?
Sure.
All right, cool. We're going to take a quick break. We come back more with Don Kazarian, and we're going to save the track, as the old saying goes, right here on Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Certified Car Clinic. Certified Car Clinic's located over by the drive-in in Lakeside. They'll do everything from motorhomes to race cars to street cars to everyday cars. They even have a dyno in-house if you're doing a little competition. Greg definitely has become the Mopar guy, just saying. Hey, we got Don Kazarian. We asked him to stay on for another 15. He's in battle up in Paris for Paris Auto Speedway. And there's a project that's trying to get through with the water department, and they're not playing nice. So, as we mentioned a little earlier, you don't mess with Mr. Kazarian, especially if he's right. But it sounds to me like you've got the right team. The only thing you really need us to do as the general public is start making those phone calls. Just keep making phone calls. And all the numbers on your website...
Oh, yeah. You go to our website, click on our Facebook page. All the information on the rally this Tuesday morning's on there. All the numbers of the local officials, except for our new state assemblyman, but that'll be up in the next day or two. Just keep calling. Put the pressure on them. It's all a numbers game. And eventually, hopefully, we get Mr. Newsom to step in and resolve this issue.
You haven't gotten any correspondence with Newsom's office? They're probably just waiting for it to work its way up from the lower levels.
There have been letters sent from county supervisors.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. State Senator Roth has made contact with the governor's office. He's also made contact with the director of DWR. He had one of his field reps called me Thursday and said, "Hey, have you heard from DWR?" I go, "No, why would they call me?" You know, and he goes, "Well, the state senator met with the director. She promised that she would have somebody from DWR reach out to the three parties and see if they wanted to sit down and talk." I said, "I'd love to sit down and talk. You know, so, you know, let the senator tell the senator, you know, call back the director, you know." So, you know, you lie in bed at night, you can't sleep, and you go, "This really is not that complicated. They are just trying to delay us to death. And also sticking every government agency they can for inspections." I mean, I don't know if I mentioned it to you, Dave. I've had more inspections this past year than the first 27 years combined.
Oh, you know, I'm telling you, I have to tell you a cute, quick story. So I work for this guy as a Toyota dealer, and he wasn't the best in town, and he was very grumpy. And he says, so like hazmat showed up, showed up for safety, just to check our dealership out. So he called me, and he says, "Who is that?" And I told him, he says, "Throw him off the lot. Tell him to make an appointment." I said, "What are you, crazy?" He goes, "Just do it." "No." So I catered to him, because if I made that guy mad, every other department in the county, fire, say, you know, all those guys, and they did it. I had friends that have that happen to you. So that's good. That definitely raised somebody's eyebrows. That's good.
Well, I mean, not only raised somebody's eyebrows, it cost me over $75,000 to almost $100,000 in things they wanted repaired or replaced. I mean, we're talking, they wrote up my videographer's ladder up on the tower that was built in 1996 to OSHA specs by a certified welder. I couldn't find the certified welding report. So they had me cut it out and just go buy a $1,400 ladder with a $500 gate on top.
Really?
$2,000. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can go on and on and on.
Yeah,
I know. They wrote up the handrails were not at the proper heights, and I had to add handrails and add railing to both sides of the stairway going up to the top of the tower. That was almost $18,000.
Like you said,
one thing after another.
They're trying to wear you down. And if they can wear you down, then they won.
Yeah, and the entire 2022 racing season, that tower that's been there for 27 years was never allowed to be open to the public, even though I spent all that money.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. And I got in this do loop in April and March or May where I would call California Construction Authority and say, okay, now what do I need to get? Have you guys issue me a permit?
Yeah.
You need to go to Cal Fire and get a permit, and then we'll issue a permit. I go to Cal Fire and say, okay, I need to get a permit. How do I do this? Well, you go get a permit from California Construction Authority, and then we'll give you a permit. So that went on for weeks. I have a meeting. I finally get a meeting through the fairgrounds with the top gal of Cal Fire out of Sacramento, the chief of Southern California Cal Fire, the two inspectors, the top guy out of California Construction, the head inspector. Had two lawyers in the meeting. We sat in the office for about 2 hours. We walked out to the tower, went up to the tower. Everybody says, looks really good, And then we went back into the office, and they said, well, we need you to do three more things. We need you to lower your occupancy from 72 people, which I'd never had an occupancy in 27 years, down to 49. I said, fine, good. And they said, well, that'll lower the amount of code requirements with only 49 people up there. Now you need to replace the mesh behind the pass sign. No problem. Well, you don't have any emergency lighting up on your stadium lighting that will come on if your lights go off in the middle of the show. I said, I'll add those two lights. Now, I got to tell you, I'm the only racetrack in Southern California that's got a big cat generator that automatically kicks in when the power goes off.
Right.
And the whole facility is lit to emergency lighting. Anyway, so I start working on those three things. And 5 days later, I get an email out of California's Construction Authority for about 14 more items.
My God.
Yeah. And it took me weeks to finish what they wanted.
And they still haven't signed off.
They haven't signed off. I had an emergency lighting inspection about a month ago trying to get the tower opened up for Oval Nationals. I have to admit, one of my emergency lights that I tested like 8 times didn't come on the south side of the tower. So the inspector said, okay, when you repair that, send me a picture. So I repaired it, sent him a picture, did not get it opened back up. I had to add a ladder gate to the ladder. It's only an 8-foot-tall ladder, so nobody could climb up there when we're not open. I took pictures of that. I sent everything off, never heard from them, but I got a bill for $4,600 for my lighting inspection, for a 30-minute inspection.
Oh, 46.
Which included travel, even though the inspector was already down here in Southern California.
Yeah.
But I had to pay for his travel to and from Southern California, even though he had other business to do that day.
Boy, makes you wonder how many other companies paid for travel for one man to do one job. Amazing. Yeah.
No, it's just, Cal Fire inspectors, $240 an hour.
Wow.
Portal to portal. The Cal Fire bill for the month of March for inspections was over $20,000 between three entities.
Oh. I mean, I'm speechless. I'm never speechless, but I'm speechless.
Yeah. No, this is the way this Department of Water Resources does to anybody that sues them. They are the most corrupt state agency, and we're talking top to bottom. And there's a huge cover-up that we know about. I really can't talk about it. There is a huge cover-up regarding this whole thing that we're going through.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, anytime you need help at this end, I'm here for you. So all you got to do is reach out. Because this is just, this is crazy. It's even bigger than the track problem, the track itself. When, you know, when it comes down to problems.
Yeah. Wait until this hits, you know, ABC News, Los Angeles, Univision, which is the highest rated news broadcast in LA. Wait till it hits there.
Oh my Lord.
We're going straight to the Sacramento stations. And we're just going to beat the war drum.
Yeah.
We have no other choice.
No. You can send that show to anybody you want, or, you know, if they'll allow you, and you could give that to other stations.
I'll get all the clips, and we're going to put it up on on our social media. But, you know, we're now getting into the fight. It has taken 2.5 months to really get in the ring. Yeah. And we're in the ring now, and between our two law firms, we got a lot of stuff to discuss. Yeah.
Well, you got to call in periodically and keep us up to date, because this is almost, much as I hate to say it, kind of like a soap opera, you know?
I hope
you're right and taking good notes, because this could be either an owner's guide to business fighting the government, or it could just be a great book down the road.
No. Xavier Ortiz is the promoter at the Toro Guapo Arena Event Center. For the first 4 years he was there, he didn't have one inspection, right? Not one.
Right.
We filed a lawsuit last November.
Right. And you've had 20 something?
I mean, he's had at his events, he'll have 3 to 4 Cal Fire inspectors there for the full event. That's $1,000 an hour.
Wow.
What? And then they've made him file for this special event permit for each one of his events. It has just been ridiculous. And it's not special. I mean, take the time, look up under the code. They're basically saying what I do is really special, and I need to get a yearly special event permit, which I've never had in 26 years.
Jesus. You know,
and I can't file for it. The fairgrounds has to file for it.
Right.
And if I change my schedule on one date, I have to file for another one.
And pay the price.
Yeah.
Man, talk about government at its worst. I'm glad you're talking about this. You know, Scott told me, he says, hey, if you got a little extra time, Don's got a good story. And man, I am telling you, this needs to get out. I mean, I know this sounds weird, but this needs to go to Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, I know. Well, we've tried to get in touch with Fox Business News. We've tried to get in touch with Fox. I mean, just wait till these two things are next week. The media is going to cover our rally live Tuesday morning.
All right.
11 to noon. Next week, it's D-Day. We're back.
All right, buddy. Hey, appreciate it. All right, don't go anywhere, folks. Gun Owners Radio right around the corner. I got to run next door. This is FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.